Aviation Gateway Park on the fly. Oshkosh 2018. It's happening. It's real. It's here. It's now. And we are doing drones today, which is really kind of fun and cool, especially for me because I'm a pilot. I don't know much about drones, but we've been learning a lot in this last hour segment. And we're going to even do some more. We're going to do some more.
Yeah, let's talk about, by the way, I'm joined now, I guess I should say, with Manny Francis. He kind of oversees the UAS showcase here. Tell me about the things that are happening inside the UAS showcase. What do I see?
Be happy to, Jim. We'll do a little round robin of what's happening inside the showcase. We've got a wide variety of exhibitors inside. We've got a company called Skyfire Consulting that does a high-end commercial consulting and also training. We've got Hoodman that makes accessories for all kinds of manned and unmanned, including landing pads and lighting gear and whatnot. We've got a company called Soaring Sky as a first-year exhibitor in the UAV Pavilion here, and they are training youngsters, or anybody, young at heart even, to fly small drones and prepare to become a drone racer with FPV goggles. So it's a great experience. Horizon Hobby is back. We just heard from Multicopter Warehouse. We've got Udacity here for the first year. They are an online learning experience where you can get a nano degree in unmanned vehicles and even flying cars. And that's a great segue to...
Speaking of...
Our newest exhibitor at the UAV Showcase is a very exciting company, and they are here to showcase the world's, what is it, J-Mont?
It says the Transition is the world's first practical flying car.
Amazing.
Terrafugia. I said it right, didn't I,
You
Carl?
Said it right, yeah.
Carl Dietrich, what's your role at Terrafugia?
I'm the founder and chief technology officer.
Well, there you go. We're blessed with talking to the man who knows everything about this. Okay, go ahead. Mike is yours.
Sure, yeah. Well, Terrafugia is pleased to be back. We first came to Oshkosh back in 2006, and we were here all the way through 2015, and then we ran into some financial difficulties. Fortunately, we were acquired by the parent company of Volvo and Lotus, and they're now pumping a lot of money in and helping us get actually over the finish line and finally into production with the Terrafugia Transition. And just as a reminder for those of you who weren't here in 2013 when we demoed the Transition flying and driving in front of the crowd here, the Transition is a two-seat light sport aircraft that's capable of folding up its wings in about 40 seconds, legally driving down roads and highways at speeds up to 70 miles an hour, cruises in the air at 100 miles an hour, burns about 5 gallons per hour of premium unleaded auto gas, so you can just drive it into a gas station and fill it up like you fill up your car.
Can I land it on Main Street?
Probably not, Jim. No. We're going to have to put you back in the cage.
Sorry.
No. So, but I can't imagine this. I can imagine that if you have a farm and you live somewhat in the country, you could check for traffic. You could land on the road in front of your house, a taxi, and you drive.
There's a lot of airports that carry auto gas, too, so...
Yeah, you know, we generally recommend against that unless you're somewhere way out in the middle of nowhere. Most people, they do ask that question. We say, look, there are 5,200 public use airports in the country. On average, there's one within a half hour drive of wherever you are.
The fact that you know that, Carl, is a good sign.
Been doing this for a little while.
So what applications are you seeing? Where are you seeing the most interest, like realistically?
So the thing that the niche that the Transition really fills is that it's really the only light sport aircraft that you can really count on to go somewhere. You know, most LSAs are great fun flyers. You go up, you tootle around the pattern, you have some fun at the practice area, then you come on back. Fun time. But you're not going to take it on a weekend getaway because they're not IFR machines, right? They're not instrument capable in general, right? They're weather sensitive. The Transition is a little different. The Transition is one of the only products that you can really count on to get where you want to go or get home, even if the weather is no good, because you can always fold up your wings and drive. So it brings that kind of new dimension of flexibility to your flying experience. We've got customers lined up who have offices in different states right now. They fly much higher performance aircraft, and they're instrument rated, but they come back at the end of the day, they're exhausted. They know they probably shouldn't fly. You know, they're maintaining their proficiency, but this gives them a safer alternative. You know, if you're tired, just drive it. You know, you're not going to get stuck. It's going to give you that extra level of safety. And speaking of safety, I do want to hit on, while we're here, the Transition probably has more safety features than pretty much any other private aircraft I've heard of. You've got a safety cage and crumple zones that are designed for Federal Motor Vehicle safety standards. You've got airbags. You've got pre-tensioning load-limiting seatbelts. You've got the BRS parachute system on board the aircraft. We are now actually in the process of doing crash testing of this vehicle. And we've got some of the best engineers in the world. We're working with folks at Volvo on this stuff, they really know their stuff about
Volvo
how to
does
do this stuff.
Yeah, so, a bit or two about crash safety.
Yeah, so it's something that we feel really good about. One of the new features that we just announced here at Oshkosh is that the Transition has a hybrid electric ground drive system, right? Oh. This hybrid electric ground drive is a very cool feature, not only because it keeps the aircraft engine running at more or less constant power when you're on the road and the small battery pack takes up the power pulses, but in addition, when you're flying, you've got a tiny little battery pack there that can pump power back into the prop shaft. So I've got my little electric afterburner now that I can kick in an emergency situation to give you an extra boost if you're operating at a high-density altitude airport or if you had an engine out and you just need to extend your glide, right? So it's a really nice little safety feature, one of the things that we're excited about.
I could see where this, I mean, and the equipment is very standard for today, this day and time. Rotax 912 IS, 100 horsepower engine. You can get it serviced just about anywhere. Parts so available. Very generic now. Fuel injected, 2,000 hour TBO. I mean, we're talking about mainstream. Maybe it's just stuff in a reality flying vehicle because people have been trying to do this on and off somehow this way, that way for a long time. We have a museum in Seattle that has a flying car in it, and it just never really took off because it was just some guy's idea. Mm-hmm. This is not just some guy's idea.
Yeah.
This is really happening.
This is happening. It is really exciting to actually be at the point where we're moving from kind of showing that it's technically possible to moving into production.
You mentioned that you're really close to the finish line. What's between today and that finish line?
So we're doing a lot of testing of that hybrid electric ground drive. That's the newest system that we've added to that. We did a lot of flight testing a while back, like we demoed here, but the hybrid electric ground drive is the thing that is kind of the last remaining thing and the crash testing like I was talking about, right? So we've got to get through those bits of the testing to make the thing fully qualified to drive on the road, and then we go through our light sport compliance process and we ship our first product.
Manny, go ahead.
Hey, Carl, I got a question. I saw some graphics in your booth that showed a passenger pod and a cargo pod. Really intriguing technology. What can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's Terra Fugia's concept for our next generation product called TF2. And TF2 is designed for Part 135 operators, like fleet vehicle operators. And it can provide urban transportation. So this is getting into and out of heliports in urban areas. But you can imagine having a pod on the back of what's almost like a flatbed truck, right? And it could just drive down the road like in an urban center. You could get on it like you get on a little bus or an Uber or something like that. Takes you to the helipad. The pod transitions over to the flight vehicle. The flight vehicle takes you where you want to go. What are the advantages? So the big advantage is that you don't have any untrained people walking around the pad, right? So from a Part 135 operator perspective, it's a safer operation. It's more consistent, more repeatable, more reliable. From an end user perspective, it's better because I just get into the pod once on the side of the road, and then I don't get out again until I'm at my destination. So it's true door-to-door service, and that's what we're all about at Terra Fugia.
Well, and I could see, you know, I want to go visit Aunt Sue, and I have a Terra Fugia, and she lives out here, you know, in cornfield land, and I land at their little airport, fold up the wings, drive to Aunt Sue's house.
Right.
No need for an Uber or a taxi. Well, they probably don't even exist there.
Yeah, in that case, probably.
And it's just a cool concept.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. I think I just found an application of this. The Transition Uber.
The Transition Uber.
Well, it is a light sport aircraft, so we got to be careful about commercial uses.
But it will be.
But you can rent it.
Will be an SLSA.
Yeah. Yeah, SLSA,
so,
right.
SLSA has a lot of options.
And it does have ludicrous mode, we heard. So it is kind of. Well, that's the Tesla.
Transition boost
Tesla.
Mode.
Boost mode. Yeah. Boost mode.
All right, on.
Does it have an autopilot?
It's designed so that you can add an autopilot to it. Yeah.
So that's with these Dynon avionics then.
Right on. Yep. Hey, thanks for your time, Carl. And now again, we're at Aviation Gateway Park inside the UAV Showcase building right on the corner of Waukaw Avenue and James Ray Drive. That's that angle road that kind of cuts through here just as you're coming up to this area. So do stop in there. I think you're all the way in the far end of that, right? Because you kind of take up that whole end.
Yep. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, please come by and see us. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Thanks, Carl. Thanks for your time. Now I gotta ask you, Manny, where is this going next year? I mean, look at what has happened over the last four plus years that you've been working towards this. What are you looking at for next year for the next iteration of this thing?
That's the million-dollar question, right, Jay?
Right.
Yeah, no, there are a lot of opportunities to evolve this space. And what I find really interesting is kind of the merging of the UAV showcase and the innovation showcase.
Right.
And some of the unmanned and manned hybrid technologies that are out there.
Sure.
And I kind of think that that's where things are going.
It's interesting discussion that I don't think has a correct answer, but there's been some questions about who belongs in your building.
Right.
Compared to the innovation side or another commercial operator or something like that, because there's UAV aspects or applications to what they're doing. So the definitions are getting blurred, and I think that tells us a little bit of something about the level of integration that we're seeing coming up.
Yeah, and Dave Jameson addressed this the other day, that they are looking at seriously joining all that together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like the right idea. I mean, you've got companies here like Precision Hawk and Honeywell that operate very much in the unmanned space, but the presence here at EAA doesn't include those groups. And so how do we incorporate them as well? And you know, does Precision Hawk belong here? Does, you know, does Honeywell belong here? And really, is unmanned just a part of the innovative nature of aviation in general?
That's just it. I should point out that Precision Hawk is going to be joining us on air tomorrow morning at 7:30, or no, Friday morning at 7:30 a.m. in a morning pre-flight show. So.
And they will have a booth in the UAV showcase on Friday as well. They'll have a presence. You can come out and meet some folks and talk about Precision Ag with Precision Hawk.
Speaking of innovations, On the Fly will be at the Innovation Showcase tomorrow, actually out right in front of Aviation Gateway Park there. Myself and Dave Jameson, and we're going to talk about all things innovation to tie that all in. So that's it, gentlemen.
We did it.
We did it. And the drone cage is beautiful. It's fun. And these kids are having a blast. And it's what a cool setup. Manny, thank you for inviting us. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Jamon. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
We are On the Fly. Aviation Gateway Park is a wrap for today. We'll be back here tomorrow on the fly as well from 1 to 2. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to EAA Radio.